Welcome back to the show. Oh, it was a big wig week. I'm so excited to be back here and just, you know, recap it all. Welcome to the pod. Guess what? Next week we might have a new intro for you. So get fucking ready. It's your girl, Anna Roisman. I'm here with my girl, Andrea Lopez. What's up?
Dre Drizzy, what's up, my girl? Anna, oh my God, we do have a big wig week. And we have a new intro, which honestly is going to be life-changing. Not that I didn't like your first selection.
My first selection is a royalty-free music that I found on Premiere that no one gave a shit about. If they're still a listener, they're here for us. They're not here for the intro, but they're going to love the intro, though. You're going to love it.
It's our personalities. I'm just telling you, it's just such a more pizzazz of what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I can't wait till we actually, they're going to be like, wait, it wasn't on this one, but the next episode, it's going to be on it, I believe. And you guys have to comment on it. Like, you have to leave us some, you have to DM us and let us know if it's good. If you have notes, you know, I want the feedback. I really do.
Notes. Give us notes on the intro. I mean, it's not that we haven't been working on it for 5 weeks. You better have selective notes. Okay.
Yeah. And positive feedback.
Mm-hmm. We can only handle the most nicest, sweetest comments. But yeah, I can't wait to showcase that. And we're waiting for episode 20 because episode 20 is a humongo bungo big wiggy episode.
Episode 20. I know we got to do. I want to do a prank call for episode 20. We got to do something wild, something a little crazy, because
please.
20 is sort of like, I feel like we're at the point in our like relationship, you know, with this podcast and working with each other where it's like, that's like the 3 month mark in a dating relationship where you're kind of like, will we, won't we? You know what I mean? 20 episodes is a commitment. So it's either like, are we going for it? Are we going to keep doing this? Keep building this, you know, or has it been fun? You know,
has it been fun? And we lay it to rest. Are you about to break up with me, Anna?
No, not at all. I'm in it for the long haul, honey. I see us on a stage. Speaking of, I see us on a stage. Andrea did an amazing cameo on my show the other night, and people are still talking to me, and they think we planned that bit. And I said, absolutely not.
Anna's show was so incredible. This is the first ever of this type of show. It was the Jewish American Prodigy show.
Yes.
And it matched. I thought you did such a great job with like the overall theme, because you had so many parts that went back to the name and you really told a story. And for the first pass of it, I'm telling you, like, I was fully, not just as your friend, I was fully invested and entertained throughout the entire show.
Thank you.
I loved to be a part of it. And yeah, you have to get into the bit that you did that you didn't plan, but it became a bit.
Thank you for saying that, first of all, because I was very nervous and I'm still, people are like, you must be on cloud nine. And I just said this on, if you listen to the Taylor Strecker show, I just said, I'm actually not on cloud nine. And I wish I was, but I stayed up very, I was, even after we hung out after, I stayed up and grilled Jared until like 4 a.m. On just like, did this part work? I didn't feel like this part did. Did this land? Like, I'm so critical of myself. I'm a perfectionist that I will sit there and be like, it was good. I have certain things I'd probably, you know, do better or differently next time. And I don't know. I'm just like, I think it's always like a work in progress. Like, it was the first time I did the whole thing. I had done one.
Right.
We did a rehearsal the day before in like a rehearsal space. And then we did like a, you know, a sound check, which wasn't the whole show. It was just kind of like cues and stuff. But I was very nervous. But thank you for saying that, because it was like, it feels like you accomplished something cool. It was a really warm, great room. It was very fun to do it in that room. It's my favorite venue in the city. So
shout out Joe's Pub.
Shout out. Yeah. Thank you for being there. I know we love Joe's Pub. Wait, so the bit. So my show, I do tell a story throughout it. I tell a bunch of stories, but there is kind of a theme, a general theme. Hopefully my impressions were seamless, because I didn't want to make it feel like I was forcing impressions on people. Like, I wanted it to be a, like, there were, you know, the order changed a bunch and I like put them in certain places based on like what I was talking about. So I hope that.
I thought they were good. Oh, it was totally understood and it was integrated so well. In fact, I started. It integrated into the storyline. It did, really.
Cool.
Every time that you kind of like led into it, I was like, oh, I know where this is going, but only because I'm so accustomed to like knowing your voices. So I thought, as somebody who would like put together that sequence, I thought it felt very natural. And I will say, there wasn't a favorite part, because I had like three favorite parts. So it's hard to choose like the actual pinnacle, but I lost it at Steve.
Really?
I full on was like belly laughing at Steve because, because it was just
I was too. I broke doing Steve.
You broke. You
which
broke.
I don't normally.
I laughed harder.
He's easy for me to not. I don't usually break that much doing Steve, but yeah. I'll tell you why I broke. So I did Steve. If you guys know, I do a Steve impression from Sex and the City. Miranda, yeah. You know, oh, yeah. Miranda. And and I literally walked out in the audience with Steve. And my friend Katie, who is your friend too now, my friend Katie, her kids go to school with Cynthia Nixon's son. So Katie and I have had this ongoing like joke that I'm going to show up at like school pickup as Steve just to get this TikTok. Yeah. And I said, no. You gotta warn her. I'm not gonna ambush Cynthia Nixon. I can't just show up as Steve and she'll be like, who is this fucking person? And so Katie, like, she'll be like, oh, come to my kids, like, come to their talent show, like her kids in the talent show tonight. I'm like, I need you to tell her first. So she hasn't told her yet, I don't think, that like I do the video. I'm sure Cynthia Nixon is somewhat aware because I've tagged her in a bunch, you know? I think if you're at all active on social media, you've probably seen it, right? The Kardashians have probably seen our stuff, but like
somebody's
chosen not
gotta send
to
her.
Invite us to dinner yet. yeah.
So we don't know why, but it's okay. We're still waiting.
I put on the Steve costume and I was walking out in the audience and my friend Katie is sitting there. And she knows the bit. She knows anything I see that's like red. It could be Miranda. And she's in head to toe red, like accessorized in cherry earrings, like literally head to toe. And I was dying because I see her and immediately, yes. I don't think you heard this, but I immediately look at her and I go, Miranda, oh, wow, you're dressed all in red. Yeah. You know, I never knew. And she goes, oh, fuck, I'm a target, aren't I? Like she didn't realize it.
Literally to your face while you're in full Steve costume. Yes, that's when I lost it.
And I just started to laugh. And then I was like, pull it together. You have other stuff you were going to do.
Pull it together.
Yeah.
It was
fun. It was fun to like dribble a basketball around Joe's Pub.
That was okay. It's the dribbling of the dead air, no air basketball that also sends me.
There was like, some error. Just, like, you there struggling. Was some error in it. Liz pumped it before the show for me. She was such a good stage mother. I forgot. I didn't have a basketball. It's funny. I have a basketball in New York that I left in a closet in my apartment, but I forgot to like organize that or get that. So I was like, do you have a basketball? She's like, yeah. And then she pumped it for me. And then, yeah.
What a good stage mom. The props are necessary.
You know what? They are. I at first I was like, it's not a big deal. I don't need the basketball, whatever. And I probably didn't, but it does make it even funnier.
It adds to it. You're like bouncing the ball throughout the tables. It's so good.
Steve's a basketball player, you know? Why wouldn't he have it? I bring it everywhere.
For better or for worse, for point or no point, Steve's a basketball player.
Absolutely. Were you surprised when I did the David Eigenberg thing? Wasn't that silly? When I brought Steve back at the end, I read the David Eigenberg text. Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was a nice moment.
Thank
in
you.
Character, nonetheless.
Thank you.
So I think it was a success. Sold Thanks. Out show. That's humongo.
It was so fun. And then so what she was talking about before, I did Kris Jenner, obviously, because we love doing our Kardashians. Duh. And I was really the Kris video. So I played some videos like beforehand just so I could change or whatever. And I had a very small mirror backstage. And I put my hair in a bun and I just like put the wig on. No wig cap. I didn't have time for wig caps.
Yeah, right. You had like 10 seconds between each character switch.
So
kind of right? Less than that.
I did it fast. Well, that one I had like almost a minute, And but I hadn't done these yet. You know, I don't have a dresser or anything. Yeah. I'm just fucking doing it backstage myself. And I put the Kris wig on. I go, something doesn't feel right about this, but I have to go out. Like, that's it. You don't have any more time. And I go out and the wig is fully backwards. Like backwards. And I noticed it. And I think I said something or whatever. And I was like,
yeah.
And then I tried to fix it. And then my hair fell out the back. And it was just like, ugh, this is a nightmare. And for me, you know, I had a whole bit like plan. I'm like, oh my God, Anna, you're going to fuck up your whole show. You put the wig on backwards. This sucks. You're doing a bad job. Like that is my inner brain, you know? And people of were course. Laughing. And I was like, are they just laughing because of the wig? They're not laughing because of my impression. They're just laughing because I fucked this wig up. And then I go over to Andrea, who like starts to fix my terrible hair. Like, of course you made it a bit. And then you were like, did you and Corey like have sex on the way over here? And everyone lost it. And they were like, oh, that's why she put the wig on backwards so she could say that line. Everyone's convinced that was like pre-planned. And I was like, no, she's just that good. We're that good. We really are. Like,
We love
we
to
can
think
pick
on our
each
feet.
Other up, you
done
know,
and done.
It's so yeah. silly. So thank it you is. For correcting my my hair.
Anna, I know that you are so good that I also believed it was a bit. I was like, girl, she's setting me up, gave me a layup. I'm like, you crazy bitch. Did you have slob kebabs with Corey in the car over?
And
it was
like,
too good.
I love to have sex in a plane with Corey. I'm really excited. We have to plan something. I was telling you this. We have to plan something for the release of the Kardashians. It's May 25th. It's in like a couple days from now. We have a lot of content of Chris and Court. So I think we're going to.
It's adding up. It's honestly exhausting knowing it all the things. They just have so much going on. And I know that like we're not even in fully, we're not the momager really, but all of the child's name announcements and the poosh and the Skims and the show and they, it's just never ending. It's crazy.
Which is great for impressionists, I guess. You know, we always have material to draw from. I think we do a best of. I think we do a best of video for the release of the show, maybe.
A best of. You know what? I just got in contact with a potential new editor. I'm about to send all of our stuffs.
Best of.
She's looking for like more people and I'm going to send her all the videos and just be like, pick it. Pick the best ofs. Because we have so much to pick from now.
We really do. And we have new videos that are going to come out. So I'm very excited about it. Literally after this podcast, I was like, she was like, okay, I'm going to take a look at the Skims footage. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a look at the New York night out footage. You know?
That still needs to come out. I know.
Yeah. We're going to make it happen. We've got a lot coming.
We got a lot coming. Well, because let's tell them about yesterday. We actually, Anna hit me up and goes, Dre, we got to go to the Skims pop-up. I go, Anna, who and what? After your big show, she wants to get up and get over to 30 Rock to do the Skims pop-up, which, by the way, is absolutely mind-blowing that this family finagled their way to 30 Rock and had a whole pop-up personalized Skims entire store.
It's wild.
With security to boot. I was like, this
okay,
is
but it's
absolutely
not even,
bananas.
It's, can we just describe it, though? It's not just like a pop-up, like four walls and, you know, they're selling shirts inside.
It's not,
there's
it's
a
not the three little
diving
pigs.
Board. It's an installation. There's a Dude. Full-on fountain Dude. That looks like a diving board into a pool.
Now I need to know what
and it's
30
all
Rock
blue
looks
like a pool.
It's all blue, but I need to know like what 30 Rock looks like without the diving board because I thought there was always a fountain there. And no, it's just like this little tiny little pond thing. But they yeah. had water coming out of the installation.
Yeah, of the like top of the like pop up, the actual like store that they built. Yeah,
to look like a diving board. Who even do you talk to plan an installation to get the water main from 30 Rock to go into the pop-up installation?
I have no what? Idea. But it's pretty remarkable to look at. It really is remarkable to look at. I'm really just it's the vision is just I'm all there.
Blown away. And the line was over an hour long, guys. It wrapped around the Rockefeller. Well, it's not a ice skating rink.
It's a
now,
roller
but,
rink
you know,
right
with
now.
The flags. It's a roller rink. We got to go roller skating over there, Anna. Oh, God. We have to go roller skating.
We should go roller skating as Luann and Teresa. How random would that be? Did you see I put out my Luann? I never even got my feedback from Andrea, my housewife's queen. She's telling me we're going to BravoCon. We're doing this. I go, okay. You know, I'm like the like kid who's yeah. like, all right, put your training shoes on. You got to get a housewife under your belt. And I was like, all right, I'll do Luann. I bought this wig months ago. I waited on it. I finally did this video. How was it? Was it okay?
Oh, Anna, it was so good. It was fantastic. And you thought, I know you just like filmed it right outside. There was people there. So like you were just, you know, you're doing what you could with the environment. I know this freaking people just giving you looks, but you pulled through. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a Luann. The next thing we got to do is get you into the cabaret. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I'm ready to sing. I asked my mom what her favorite part of my show was the other night. And she said the singing. I said, oh, okay, thank you.
You really, and this is a bad part as a friend on my part, but yeah. I haven't made it to your Joe's Pub shows to see you sing.
Oh.
Your voice, I got chills when you did Mamma Mia.
Oh, really? I was like, I fucked that one up. I was so tired by the end. I was like, wow, I'm not even singing the right lyrics, but thank you.
You could have fooled me. I was like, damn. I thought it was such a great voice. I mean,
thank you.
You held the notes.
You'll come to the next Joe's Pub show. They
I
need people.
Will.
Next Thursday night, not this Thursday, next Thursday, you guys, I'm singing at Joe's. It's a Hall & Oates show, which Hall & Oates can write, writes amazing songs. And I am
good.
Singing one I'd never heard before, but it's a good song. So it'll be fun.
Never heard this song in my life, but hey, we're going to put it together. We're going to sing a tune.
No, it'll be fun.
No, I love it.
It'll be a fun time. Thank you so much for saying it. Skims pop-up was wild yesterday. So we went, we filmed a bunch. Shout out to our friend Katie. We got a lot of shit to cut from that, which will be it's very funny to do that, you know? Do you enjoy doing it in public or do you prefer Courtney in private?
In public, I do have fun, but I feel as though when people look at us, they don't know what we're doing exactly. And I think eventually they catch on and then we have like the crowd loving it. But at first, it's just like a lot of like dirty looks. Like, what are these bozos doing? Like, we got kicked out by that security guard.
Oh, yeah, we almost got kicked out. We got kicked out.
This freaking guy comes up and he's like, I'm sorry, I let you do your thing. I don't want to make a scene, but you got to get out of here. Who are you representing? We're like, who are we representing? Anna and Andrea. That's who we're representing.
I wanted to be like, we're shooting a pilot. For Peacock.
Yeah, for Peacock. We're represented by Peacock. I do actually feel better when we get hired by a bigger house. Like Bravo, you know, wants us to do a clip for them. And I feel a little bit more like we have representation.
Yeah.
But best believe we go and we do it live. And I think it's actually fun because then you can tell people. Like Anna was, oh my God, you, the way you coined us, you're like, follow us at Big Wigs.
Yeah, I did. You guys, come on. Someone's got to be the momager. I was fully in my Kris Jenner and they were like, where can we find this? And I was like, at Big Wigs. And then you'll see both of our names below it. Okay.
It does make it easier than giving them two profiles to go to. You were like, just look at Big Wigs. Get us there. We're even closer to 1,000 because I think you told people to follow us. So I'll take it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're listed there. It's so easy. Yeah. If we're doing it together, I'm like, well, we also have a show. Check us out, honey.
Check us out.
It was a mistake to do it the day after my show. I will say I was so tired. I'm still so tired. And not because I just performed a show. I think you build up all those nerves and adrenaline. And then like, I didn't really sleep well. Yeah. And then I'm just like,
yeah, it's a lot. Oof.
It was, I don't know. I'm old now, you know, it's hard. I'm old. Did you like my age? I joke about my age. I loved it. If you come to see me.
I was just going to say, Anna, you're 26. Anna, you're a spring chicken.
Yeah, I'm 26. We'll see. We'll see what I do for August. I'll probably do the same show, but I'll probably change some stuff in it. You know, a couple things here and there.
As you should. I really don't think it needs to be changes. But I know you like... Once you do the show, it's so good to just take a second, look at a couple things, make a little tweaks, wherever you felt like there needed to be something. But I really thought it was incredible. I mean,
Thank you.
I wouldn't even change the sequence of it. I loved the sequence. I loved the flow. It didn't feel long to me at all.
Thank you.
Like a great amount.
It's very kind of you. I feel, it was something I said I'd do this year. And so you know what? I did it, right?
That's a big check mark.
Big wig check mark, honey.
Big wig check. It really was.
Yeah. And I sold it out. So you know what? Maybe I broke even. You know what I mean? We'll see.
I was going to say, because you have to pay so many little costs go into making up a whole production with the photographer and the director, the producer. So
it's a lot.
If you broke even, girl, that's great.
Yeah, I think so, which will be really nice. And I made, if you guys are going to come in August, I made the tickets cheap. It's the cheapest at Joe's Pub that you could do. It's like $20 a ticket because it's a venue where you buy food and drinks and it's like, you know, it's a sexy place. It's not like a cheap drink place though. That's why I'm like, people who go know they're going for a night out.
I enjoy that. You're not getting a seltzer. I ordered a dirty martini with some yummy olives. I was like, oh girl, look at her. I mean, ordering
like
the dirty.
Andrew Carmeline, who does the Dutch, and like it's like a real, like, you know, the food and beverage at Joe's Pub has always been, I don't know if it's still Andrew Carmeline. That's bad if it's not, because I have to check on that. But it's
let me just take a little check there. Well, yeah. Let me tell you, best fries I've had in the city. In the city.
Big wig bite of the week, baby.
We're going to have a sounder there. Put it in.
Big wig bite of the week. Okay. So I was telling her, I said, did you eat anything there? Because they do have amazing, I don't eat french fries famously. So I don't know if you knew that about me, but I haven't had french fries.
What do you guys? I'm sorry. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Yeah, you want to rewind a second?
Rewind. Wait a minute. You're telling me you don't eat cheese, and that's for a stomach thing. We'll give you a pass on that. I'm sorry. You say you don't eat French fries for why? What? Who?
Also for my stomach. So
God damn it.
When was it? I guess it was about 13 years ago.
Oh, 12 or 13.
Hold on, back in my 60s, in 13 years ago, I take a medication. I take two medications every day for my stomach.
And
every day, every morning. And then I take, it used to be one at night too, but they've weaned me off of that. But I'm always in pain. And you know what? Maybe this will, I don't know. I do need some sort of surgery thing, but whatever. And I live off of Tums. Like, I eat Tums. Like, it's like, do you want a piece of gum? Like, I'm like, do you want some Tums? Really? Like, I have it all the time.
The Chewy Tums are bomb.com.
They are good. I'm into the Chewy Tums. I got some.
I really like those. I just got onto them, and I think they're on to something.
That's my big wing bite of the week. Those Chewy Tums. Are you kidding me? Those are, they're incredible. The red and the yellow ones too. Have you had those? The lemonade ones or whatever?
I have not. And now I'm getting hungry. What? They're now flavoring the Tums?
Oh, they're good. Yeah. No, let me tell you, I went to a drugstore and I couldn't find them. And I was like, boom, 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 Amazon on the spot, you know, order them to my house.
Boom.
Literally like from a CVS. But okay, so the fries thing, here's the thing. So my GI, my stomach doctor, when I went years and years ago, like one of the, you know, when we were trying to figure out what is wrong with me,
what's going on,
you know, they said I have really bad IBS and really bad acid reflux. Not a good combination, you know what I mean? Just not fun.
And that's a lot going on.
A lot of people say, you know, people say it's a Jewish thing that you have a bad stomach, that our ancestors passed these on to us. You know, it's really sad, because how much do we have to endure as the Jewish people?
But way too much. Like, yeah. As if you need one more thing to complain about, you don't. And it's just shooting you down when you're already down.
We have weak stomachs. So I went and they said, well, for acid reflux, here are the things to cut out. Okay. Oh, they God. Tell you, and some of the people listening, you know what I'm talking about. They tell you no red wine, no acidic fruits, no tomatoes, acidic. No deep fried foods, no chocolate. And I said, excuse chocolate. Me, those are my main food groups. So how do I? I'm like,
I'm not changing my life for this. This is insane.
I'm like, I had peanut M&Ms and an orange juice for breakfast. Like, I don't understand what am I supposed to eat now? You know, I was so young, and yeah. I was young. And so I thought, okay, I wanted to do something. I was like, cut one thing that, you know, you can get everywhere. What can you get at every restaurant you go to? French fries, right? And I loved French fries. I love French fries. And I thought,
I know,
that's the deep fried food I eat the most. You know what I mean? A donut, you can eat, you can pass, whatever. Pass, a French fry, right. You can get it with every fucking lunch you order at any place. So I thought, all right, I won't eat French fries anymore. Maybe that'll make me feel better. Here's the thing. When people are like, that's weird. It's not weird to me, because that is the one thing you can get everywhere. I will still eat onion rings. I will still eat tater tots. It's not like I'm like... It's just a principle in my head, because I'm like, if I start eating fries again, I could order them everywhere. So I don't eat them.
So you don't eat fries. Okay.
I'm so sorry. And this was something that was very hard to explain to like Jared when I first started dating him, you know, and I see Andrea sitting there judging me with her like your mouth right now looks like you had that like buccal fat surgery. She's like, piercing her lips like, so you don't eat fries. Mm-hmm. Got it. So a tater tot, well, she will shove down her throat, but not a fry.
Then I love that. If once I hear that, you know, when you're on a date and you're explaining and the guy thinks you have a stick up your ass because you don't eat a certain thing, he's like, oh, Jesus Christ, she sounds like a lot, just because you don't eat fries. But then you say, it's for this. And also, I do indulge in tater tots. And then it's like, okay.
I'll eat a tempura fried shrimp, but you can't get that everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, those are things you get once in a while. And I know that that night will suck for me. You know what I mean?
Night. Yes. So even if you're getting really, really sick, the stomach is in pain, you already feel it coming on, then you already can jump on the Tums, or you just have to endure and just hope it passes quickly.
Oh, I'm always in pain. I'm in pain from my snack. Like, it's just something I live with.
We started the show and
Anna literally was like, my stomach hurts.
Oh, no. I was like, what did she eat?
I have nothing because I've been traveling. I have nothing in my house. I ate a frozen veggie burger and I thought this will be fun. I'll just microwave it and I'll put some feta cheese on it. Fake feta cheese, you know, not dairy, but it's so good. This fake feta and plant-based feta or
fake
whatever.
Feta, of course. And
I don't know. And I had a pickle. Tasty. Like, I literally, you know, when you're starving and you like scrounge for anything in your house.
Oh,
we had
anything.
Some pepperonis. Like, I don't know. I just ate
the stuff. The pickle is always a good pick me up because they obviously don't soil. So you can leave them in your fridge forever. Yeah, so you forever. Always have that. It's a safe bet.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. I just tried the Nutella biscuits. I posted about it because Teresa posted about it.
I got army pants and flip flops because. She got army pants and flip-flops.
Katie was wearing army pants and flip-flops, so I also got army pants and flip-flops.
You're literally like, Teresa was eating Nutella Bites, so I got the Nutella Bites.
I also got the Nutella Bites. Well, what's funny is we got the same care package because we got invited to the book launch party of this, the owner and the wife. It's the Sweet Paisana on TikTok. She's called the Sweet Paisana, so she sent it to us. I went, and I think Teresa that night had, I think, her daughter's graduation. She was somewhere. Oh no, she was on Watch What Happens Live. But she's eating the Nutella. She's like, oh my god, these Nutella crackers are so yummy. I had like two of them. And I'm like, wow, she only ate two? Like, they can't be that good. Like, when you overindulge in cookies, you eat like 10 Oreos, right?
Yeah,
she's like,
the whole
I
box.
Had two. They were so good. It's like, it's only so okay. And then I open up the box from Sarah and I go, oh my God, this is the same Nutella. Like, what are the chances? And then I realize, oh, she also sent the same box to Teresa, but Teresa couldn't go. And they were fire. They're very good. Nutella biscuits.
Nice.
Do you like Nutella?
Sometimes. I've never been a huge, huge fan. Like, someone's like, okay. Oh, we got to put Nutella on the, like, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't love hazelnut. I think that's it. I love chocolate.
Hazelnut. It is hazelnut. You're right. It's a different form of it.
It is. Yeah. I love chocolate. If it was just a chocolate spread, I'd be all over it. But I think the hazelnut, sometimes I'm like, nah.
Eh. The way I said something, I know we're going to go really off topic with this, but I'll keep it quick. No. Did you see Adam Lambert's rendition of Cher, but he sang The Muffin Man?
No.
On Jimmy Fallon.
I did breeze by. It's like Jimmy Fallon's like other show, right? Like the like.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I know it.
Can I play a small clip of it? Because I think as an impressionist, this was an outstanding performance.
Okay.
Of the Muffin Man as Cher. I already have it keyed up. And I'm sorry if this is crazy. We can delete this from the episode.
No.
So good.
Stop.
Okay. Ready?
I can't wait.
Adam Lambert performs the Muffin Man as Cher.
I did hear this.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's incredible. I voted for him. So good.
One more part.
Who lives on Drury Lane? Oh.
I think
oh my God, I love
next.
It. That's
like,
amazing.
That was sensational.
He's so good.
We do.
Adam Lambert can do anything
so
with his
good.
Voice. There's a reason he's the cover, the singer for Queen now. You know what I mean? Like, no one can
wow,
sing like him.
I did not know that. He's like, you know when they say he's the rebirth of an old artist? Who would you compare him to that, like, in the past generation?
Freddie Mercury.
Like, Freddie he's Mercury? Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Because he's singing. He is Freddie Mercury now. He is
because I guess he got casted
frontman.
For that. Anna, I didn't even relate that. I was like blown up. I was like, really? After
I was like,
told
wait,
me that he
yes,
got chosen for Queen. I was like, no way, bitch. That's crazy.
Because Freddie Mercury's voice was like unparalleled, and I think Adam yeah. Lambert has that kind of a range, and they saw that. And it's very funny because Queen is such a legendary band, but they noticed him when he was on American Idol, and they were like, this kid can sing any fucking song in the whole world, and that's what Freddie could do. So come sing with us. And he's been on tour with them for years, which is so fucking cool.
For years?
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah, I want to go see them. They're coming to LA in November. You should come. I want to go see Adam Lambert and Queen.
Oh my God.
So
okay,
badly.
Done and done. Well, he's on this new show. No, it was at Sundance. So he sat on the panel that I questioned with Ben Platt because they're in the theater camp movie together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even, because when you're on, you have like five people in front of you for the movie, you can only have 2 minutes with them. So I was asking them questions about theater camp, obviously. But after watching that, like, I just want to sing Cher with him. Like, I just want to ask him about, if you know, I just, now I feel sad that I didn't have that opportunity. But he's a star. Okay. He's a star.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome.
Absolute.
Okay, so your big wig bite of the week was French fries. That's where we left off. And then I told you my whole fry thing. Wait, I had a question for you because the fry thing, I had to eat one once. I wanted to tell you this.
After the full breakout, like the fallout with the fries.
Yeah. And this was like about 12 years ago. And I had this big meeting. I didn't tell you this. I had this meeting.
Oh, you did. You did.
I think I did. And she made me eat one.
You ordered it. That's one.
No, I didn't order it. I was at this meeting. She was eating lunch. She was ordered. She goes, please have a fry. And I said, no, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. No, have one. And I was like, okay. I took like the like nub, you know, like the one that was like broken off. I was like,
oh my God. Oh yeah. God, ketchup. So okay. Good.
Dippy dip, dip, dip. I was like, this never happened. You never had this. This is never happening. I don't think that's the same with people who are sober, but you know, I was like, no, this never happened.
If you're sober. Yeah. Mm-mm. One little sip of that alky and you're
starting over.
You're starting over. You're back on the saddle.
I didn't tell Jared this information. I didn't even tell him I didn't eat cheese when we first started dating. Did you ever withhold information from a date? Like, because you were like, I'm not giving it all up right now. You know, I don't want them to judge me for things right now.
The fact that if I eat anything spicy or oniony, my farts are so bad. And I can't hold the farts in because then I will get astronomically painful cramps if I hold in too much air. And I'm a gassy girl when I'm eating those onions. Like, it's bad. But I've now narrowed it down to olives, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, hummus, chickpeas, bad time.
Oh yeah, dry. Those but are very bad for yeah.
So I won't any eat those bean, on a date or
any type of bean, no bean legume.
No. You know what I didn't though? Okay, no, I'm going to get way too off topic. The bean dip we had, I actually had no gas at Liz's, the bean dip, which was
oh yeah, fun. I love that. The desert pepper bean dip. It's a classic.
Oh my God. I would eat that as a meal. With a spoon. I want to lather my body up.
Open that jar up. Can I be honest? I want to make content for desert pepper. I have told them too.
You should. I'm fully supporting that because it's so good.
I want to. Maybe we can do a big wig. Maybe we can do a partnership with them. Our first
with
partnership.
Desert Storm? What
Desert
is it
Pepper.
Called?
It's the only salsa my mom bought for me growing up. Desert Pepper.
Really? Oh, it's like a white people.
I guess.
It's like the salsa you
what
find
in Whole
Foods.
What salsa did you get?
I don't know. Fucking like, what did we eat? Well, no, it was homemade. My abuelita made it because
it's homemade.
Yeah, there you go. It's homemade. I'm sorry, you know.
No, that's the jarred salsa that I still buy it.
So good.
It's so good. The other one, the black bean corn roasted pepper one, that one's a really good one.
Fire.
I'm going to tell them I talked about it on the podcast today because I've been in touch with them. I have.
This is a perfect moment then. Cut this clip.
Yeah. Desert Pepper. Let's tell them. Desert Pepper. We are two bigwigs and we've chosen your brand as the first partnership that we would like to do because we fucking loved your salsa. We loved your bean dip. We are talking up the bean dip on the podcast, which is a big moment for us and for you.
And together we will make greatness. Say bean dip again. Bean dip.
Bean dip. Bean
nice.
Dip. I know. I remember you took your bite the other night and you were like, what? What is this? This is the sensation in my mouth. And Liz is like,
having a fiesta.
It's a bean dip. It's the bean dip.
It's like, wait a minute. I couldn't even tell that it was bean dip. It tastes like something else.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Was that good?
Wait, what's something you withheld? You're saying you withheld from Jared?
Oh, I didn't tell him I didn't eat cheese. And I remember there was a moment on our first date where he was straight up like, we went to an Asian restaurant because, you know, that was safe. I was like, yeah.
That was safe?
It is. And for it like is. In terms of dairy, I was like, yeah, I can eat everything there. And
sure.
He was like, I love cheese. Cheese is amazing. You know, he started going off about cheese. I'm like, how boring is this date? Like, what the fuck is he? we had already met. So, you know what I mean? It was our first like date, yeah. but it wasn't like the first time we hung out or like saw each other. And my brain is going, you know what? You like this guy. Don't bring up the dairy thing. Don't do that.
Don't mess it up.
And it's not lying. You know what I mean? It's keeping some stuff hidden. You know what I mean?
Withholding information.
Withholding
that you
information.
Intend on telling later, yes. obviously.
Right. When he's like, you want to order a pizza? And I'm like, can we get half of it without cheese? And he's like, what? Now that's his whole life, you know?
Little did he know.
Here we are 7 years later. Can you believe that? Oh my God. 7 years. We didn't do anything.
7 years.
For our anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah, but like after a couple of anniversaries of the dating anniversary, it loses its spark, does it
not? No. Oh no, we always do it big. And Jared even likes to do us every 6 months. He'll be like, it's our seven and a half, six and a half.
That's just too damn much. That's just way past any energy.
I think we forgot this year. The only reason we didn't do it this year is we were flying to Philly like the night of our anniversaries, the day of our anniversaries. So we were like, yay. Philly. We were going there for my cousin's wedding, which was super fun.
Oh, which was super fun. We didn't get to hear about the wedding.
The wedding was great. It was a lot. It was like a 3-day affair, but it was very fun. We had like the theme party on Friday.
The theme party, the 70s disco.
Yeah. Which was very cool. It was at Reading Terminal in Philly, which is like, you know, Reading Terminal is like the classic like food hall, like kind of like Chelsea Market in New York,
nice.
But Reading Terminal is like known for the famous roast pork sandwich, and they have like all the, you know, it's like a bunch of different vendors or whatever, and it's really, so they had like some of the iconic vendors there, which was cool. Like they were doing like baby Reubens that were like on little, you know.
You ate three? I would have eaten three.
Like, oh my God, it was so good.
So good.
And yes, I eat a Reuben without the Swiss cheese. Thank you very much. Okay.
You could do vegan Swiss cheese. I'm sure it would taste truly vegan cheese tastes pretty similar.
Oh my God, you froze.
Hello?
You froze for a second there.
Am I back?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi.
You're back.
I can. I'm back. Okay, cool.
Do you know the love, man? Do you know?
Should we do an entire episode as Cher?
I would love that. I have to. I go into country when I do Cher. I would love that.
Yeah, you sound like Elvis.
I'm a love man. I'm a love man.
But in college, for my directing class, I chose to do a Cher music video. Most people did like like a documentary about like, you know, about like trees in Boston or like, I don't know, like
snooze
something. And I go, I'm going to recreate the Cher Strong Enough music video with my two gay friends as my backup dancers. And I'm just going to have different locations and I'm just going to like...
Iconic.
So that's funny.
That's Elle Woods level of Legally Blonde sending in a music video for her application.
I remember
I need
like,
to see this.
See, it's probably on YouTube still. I remember seeing all the other projects and I was like, oh, did I do this right? Is this, they said it could be any kind of, you had to direct and edit it. And I thought editing a music video is so easy and fun. Cause
I could do this in my sleep. Yeah. It's literally different scenes.
Yeah,
same
and
thing.
You just lay down the track you cut to the beat.
Done.
You cut, you know, I was like, "Oh, I got this." It's shot on a terrible camera. Like it's grainy and terrible,
well,
but
back in the day, yeah.
And I had a wind machine. Oh, I really like got into it. And I'm lip syncing. I didn't sing it. I just fully just used the track.
You chose. Okay, wait. What grade did you get? Because this is reminding me of a story very similar.
I don't know. I don't remember, grades in college. This was like
me neither. Grade schmades.
I passed. I don't know.
That's the most important thing. Honestly, we had one of my major. It wasn't a capstone class, but it was one of the major classes you had to pass. And our teacher, his name was Professor Shoemaker, and he was a silver fox. Like he was a zaddy if I've ever seen one. He looked like it was like a Richard Gere, but even more smoldering and tan. And everybody wanted to take Shoemaker's class. And one of the assignments was to make a production house's like opening credit, like the lion or yes. the stars that go around that statue.
Paramount.
And my partner, Paramount.
Who you technically kind of still work for. She's like, you know that one?
I know.
The stars. The stars.
That's
careful.
So
don't let any of your bosses listen to this episode. They're going to be like, yeah, okay.
Oh, whatever. They already got fired. We're all fired. It's because they've rebranded. And now I can't remember what's up from down. Okay. All these brands are merging and they're changing. Like, I can't keep up. But yes, Paramount. So we had to make one. And so I was kind of taking that like lion theme. So I made like a bunch of animals like walk across, terrible graphics. I really, Anna, I thought I was doing something.
She's fully
so
Noah's
big.
Arcing this. Yeah.
She's if like, I know really? One thing, it's the Bible. And I made all these animal sounds. And he goes, honestly, he said the most iconic thing ever. It's like what a housewife he would say. He was like, this would work if you were making irrelevant movies because this is irrelevant. This means nothing to me. What Whoa. Is your production house about? But the opening line of just like, this would work if you were making irrelevant movies. I was like, oh my God.
This was in college?
So dumb. This was in college. We were all seniors and like everybody took this project obviously pretty seriously, but also nobody knew what to do. Like we're all students and you're supposed to make like an opening credit and all That's these a- things are so random.
Yeah.
Like I can't make a lion roar. I would have to use copyrighted material. Like where am I going to go to the zoo? It was insane. So
what was your major again?
Television, radio, and film.
Oh.
TRF.
See, ours was separate. So I was just television.
Oh,
I mean, I was just a BS in television. That's
BS
my degree.
BS in TV.
Which sounds fake. It sounds all made up.
It does. You're like, really? You just majored in television? Like, yeah. Yep. That's what I did.
You had to pick TV or film in the communication school.
Did they have broadcast digital journalism?
Broadcast and journalism.
Had to go out and do stories? Yeah.
Was separate. And I was like, no, too serious. TV is where I'm at.
Yeah. Agreed.
Wait, that is so funny. I got terrible feedback on a project in college too for my producing class. You'll never believe this. I came up, you guys, I'm going to brag here for a moment. I came up with the most brilliant TV. We had to come up with a pitch for a 1-hour TV show, right? And the project was you had to pitch your show in front of the class. You had to make a deck and pitch it.
Oh, and yes. Yes.
My idea was it was like a drama, but it was like, okay, there was a professor at this college. I kind of was like, I'm going to model it after like Berkeley, like a very good, smart school. Okay.
Yeah.
Science professor at Berkeley. And they're the best science department in the nation. And it's because this professor gives them Adderall. So these students are fucking awesome. And they just are the top of the top in terms of like science in the country.
Yes.
And this was my TV show idea. I was like, you know, and I hear all the characters.
I'm feeling it. Yeah.
And let me just say, this is pre Breaking Bad. Okay.
I'm not gonna
say Breaking Bad stole my idea, but I'm gonna say this was an idea I came up with before Breaking Bad came out. And my professor, and you know, in the class, people are like, it's the year 3000 and robots have taken over the world. And like, you know,
yeah, the most obvious. Yeah.
These dumb fucking TV show ideas. He gives me a D. I'll never forget this. He gives me a D
in a
creative producing project. And I said, can I speak with you about this? I don't understand. Okay. Let me just tell you this professor, you want to know what his credits were? He directed the fucking... Now you're going to be able to find him, but I'm sorry. He was really nasty to me. The Lifetime movie of the Menendez brothers. That was like his one big credit. And then he became a professor of television at Boston University. So
Anna goes into his office. He goes, who are you?
I go, why did I get such a bad grade on this? Like, this is a good show. And he was like, your show is the least believable show out of every project in the class.
You basically predicted the entire Adderall pandemic of our country.
Well,
you basically wrote
but
Euphoria.
I also was like, immediately my brain goes, oh, he's a drug dealer. like, and he's scared. I'm going to out this man. Like, I don't. Yeah. It was so far out that I was just like, I couldn't understand this. So he goes, I'll give you the opportunity to redo the assignment and you can come up with another show to pitch. And so And you had to pick like which I was like, this is for like Showtime. You know, like I knew, you know, it was like I was like, this
the
is
whole
a,
thing,
whatever. And so I come back in with another project idea. And it was like, OK, it's a bunch of camp counselors and they're at this camp for the summer and it's okay, for the CW. And like this person hooks up with this person and then like they're in a fight all summer and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, OK, good. That was a really good project. I was like, I couldn't to this day, I still don't understand. Aside from him being stumped. A drug dealer, I still don't know what could it have been.
Did it remind him of his own life? Like, what could it have been that kept him from,
right?
Other than him being a drug dealer? Like, what did he have against that story?
I was like, I'm sorry. So the robot show, that's believable to you, but my drug dealer professor is not? So bad.
He must have been on thin ice with the board and he was about ready to get fired. He's like, this will put it over the edge.
So bad. But also, who are these professors giving us this kind of feedback on these creative ideas? They're like, they're literally saying, hey, take your imagination and run with it. Here's the assignment, though. You got to make a video or you got to make a pitch or you got to make this. You did the assignment. So did I. Who are they to judge our material on it? Right.
I struggle with that, too. Our major itself is supposed to be based off creativity. Just these professors, which I actually should hit up. The old professors. I had one really, really great one who's very invested in like our lives still. She'll like hit us up on LinkedIn and things. But other than that, who are these people? I don't know.
I don't talk to any professors. I don't think anyone. I don't have any connection to my college anymore, really. Aside from the emails that they beg us to like give them money. I'm like, are you kidding?
Oh my gosh, I know.
I don't make money. Like, who am I giving? Why would I give you money right now?
For me to give money back to Newhouse, which is like one of the biggest communication schools, I mean, I would have to be a multimillionaire to build a studio for them.
Oy. Yeah.
Oy. I actually went to school with the grandson of Newhouse, which was a mind-blowing experience. Yeah.
Nepo.
Nepo, tepo to the schleppo. This mofo. He was very generous. I actually went abroad with him to Madrid, and he would cover all the drinks, like all the rounds. And I was so amazed.
So he's a good Nepo. We love that.
He's a good Nepo, but he's a very vegan Nepo and believed in not using deodorant. So he was a little bit of like a stanky, but very kind Nepo.
That's your memory of this person.
Stanky Nepo. No, but like truly a beautiful person, like very free, like loved to smoke weed, was very chill, but just didn't really believe in bodily using, you know, deodorant, body wash, really anything. He lived very much like natural. He loved to walk barefoot to places.
Wow.
It was a very crunchy granola.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Stunning. That's nice.
It's a nice journey for him.
I was going to say, I looked at Syracuse. I feel like a lot of people are like graduating, going to college. It's college season, right? They're like picking schools and stuff. Or maybe they did that a month ago.
There's graduates all over the place.
Yeah,
I saw so many graduates. Where were they? They were
Columbia and
NYU. Right,
Columbia and NYU had theirs.
Like so many. Oh, they're all over like the parks taking beautiful Central Park photos right now.
Didn't I tell you when I looked at Syracuse how I immediately was like, well, I'm not going to go here because there was a blizzard. And so the tour was canceled. So we just went to, they were like, literally like the tour is canceled. And my mom and I were there. I don't even know how we got there. And then we went to some like info session or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I saw like the theater school and then it was so snowy. There was so much snow whenever we went. It was I don't know why. It was like February or something. Right. And then And then there was only like nothing was open and there was like one like little dive bar. And I was like, Mom, where the hell am I? I'm not going to go to school here. We're in the middle of like a snowstorm. There's nothing here because it felt like there was nothing there. And that first impression of going to see a school and like, you know, taking it all in. Granted, the weather wasn't on my side, but I was like, absolutely not.
That would be a major turnoff for me, too, especially if it was the introduction meeting was canceled. I'd be like, this is a bad sign. I'm not interested.
Well, we never got the tour because of the weather. So I was like,
you see.
Okay. Yeah.
Guess we're not going here.
However, when I went to BU, when we did the tour, my mom and I left halfway through and went to Newberry Street and got manicures. And I was like sitting there getting a manicure. I should have added this to my show because it's a very jappy thing of me to do. But I was like, oh my God, I actually feel like I could go to school here. My mom's like, we're not at the school. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm enjoying my
manicure. But I'm feeling very at home here. And I think this will do fine.
I knew if I went to school in New York, I would have quit. I would have tried to audition and I would have quit school. So I was like grounded in Boston, you know?
Boston's great, but also Syracuse is hours from the city. I mean, you are up there, so there is no real trips down. I think, you know, you can't do a quick audition.
Looking at them, I feel like I was like, oh, like I want to go in a city. I didn't want to go in a campus.
Yes.
I don't know.
It depends. It really depends.
Some people love it, though. They're like, I want a big sports rah-rah sorority sister snacking time.
Sorority snacking sisters. I know. Well, it's, yeah. I mean, you have to kind of know what you want. I was, and I did meet so many amazing people. I was DG, Delta Gamma, and I did it just because I thought a lot of my friends were doing it, and I really, none of my family was ever in like a super big sorority, or we didn't really know much about Greek life, and I didn't even realize Syracuse was such a big Greek school. But I just decided because I never say no to anything, and somebody said, come to the, you know, come to Rush. And I said, all
right. I also feel so like at that school, that's a really fun social thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't big at my school because we were in a city. People were like, yeah, there are sororities, but you don't have to do it or anything. You can go to all these parties or whatever. But it's like a huge part of your social life, right?
It is, and it's not. When you're in the middle of it and all your friends are rushing, you think it's like the center of the entire university. But then as you grow older and you start going into like junior, senior year and you meet all the people that aren't in Greek life, you're like, wait a minute, where were you guys? Like, where? Yeah. Also, all of my eventual like freshman year best friends all ended up in different houses. So we all decided to live together. So when we had big parties, it was like every sorority girl coming from different houses, which I loved because I love to like bring everybody together instead of being like exclusive, which is kind of what sororities are. But it's supposed to be like you finding the people you get along with the best. But
that's nice.
As I've moved to different cities and I've like lost touch with some of the sisters, now I like really kind of miss them. And I'm like, oh, I should hit them up. And I see them all going to each other's weddings. And I think my friends are like these new friends I've met, like you who are in our industry and I've become so close with. And I've started to make new friends. But I don't like that I left. You know, I miss those people. Aww. And I see them all starting new lives like together. They're all each other's bridesmaids. And I'm like, oh, my God, like.
I'm going to say something as your friend. I'm going to be like, Dre, you don't need to be in more weddings. You have a wedding. She has like three weddings a month. She's like, I'm starting to feel like I wish I was a part of these weddings. Like literally
they didn't invite me. Yeah.
I always tell her, how do you know so many people who get married? She's like, I'm at that age. I was like, yeah, I was at your age. Couldn't. Here's the thing, though. I moved to the city the day after I graduated college.
And you never left. Right.
And I was in LA for a year. But again, I never so all my friends were in this industry, like mostly performers. And no one got married.
No one got married. I know. They basically choose marriage by like force. They're like, I guess I'm pregnant now. I guess we should get married. Or I guess I need to get on your insurance stat. So let's get married.
Yeah, in New York, it's like, should we get, like, literally, Jared and I, we should share a rent, right? Because, like, it costs less.
It's financially smarter. Exactly. New York forces relationships.
It does.
And that's what it feels like.
New York forces relationships. For sure. It for sure does. I was asking my friend, I was like, are you guys going to move in together? And she was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, but, like, wouldn't it save you? Like, my brain is immediately like, but it saves you money, right? And Ubers.
I know. We get to share every single tab now. It's great.
I know. It's great. Sure. You know, it's funny. Jared and I are on the same phone plan. I'm like, wow, we are already married. I think that made you get married.
That's huge. That's a big step.
Well, I don't even think of it as that, but I guess it is. It sounds like it when I say it out loud, right?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. But then, I mean, once you say it, but then you explain it to people and they're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
I have a question for you. Actually, I wanted to tell you something. Well, first, did you watch the Vanderpump Rules finale?
I did not, but I'm so happy you did because I was watching the Jersey finale. But the Vanderpump, was it shocking? Did you get blasted? Were you surprised?
Here's the thing. So I was 17 minutes late. So it was on the plane. Like, you know, JetBlue has TV. So it was on Bravo. And I
was
thought
impressed that they already had it, though. Usually you get selective seasons, like 1, 2, 3 on.
No, flights. No. They have direct TV on JetBlue. You've flown JetBlue, right? It's literally TV. So it's whatever's on is on.
Oh, that's pretty good. I guess I never turn on the TV when I'm on the, I'm like on my phone or whatever.
Oh my God. I turn the TV on and I leave it on. Like I like having the like noise, you know what I mean? Like I just, sometimes I'll watch a movie. If I'm like, oh, it's late, I want to just watch a movie. But I don't know. Last night I was like, I'm just going to put the TV on. I watched a lot of like food shows.
But 100% what if I were you too? You were sitting there having your little Pinot Grigio, your plain snacks as deserved because it was a light flight.
It was such a bad flight though. I had an issue on the flight, but it was not a fun flight. We'll say that. I'm ready. I have a complaint email form on my tabs right now to send to JetBlue.
Draft it up.
Yeah.
Send it.
No, but you'll laugh why I stopped because I didn't get the name of the flight attendant that I want to fucking rat out. And
are you kidding me? Was it a male or female? Or
it
both?
Was a male. Well, they ask. They say name, number, or description. And I'm like, well, if I write a description now, I'm going to look like a fucking Karen. And I'm not. I'm not in this situation. I swear
to
God.
They asked you so people could describe what the flight attendant looked like. So even if you didn't know their name.
Yeah.
Well, what the?
They allow that. They that's part of the thing. And so I stopped there because I was like, well, here we go. But this guy, I was going to write the whole thing. Like he must have had a really shitty day, but he was every 5 seconds he'd come by and be like, the dog has to be fully zipped in the bag. And we said, no, it doesn't. We fly with him all the time. He's in his carrier. It doesn't say it has to be zipped up. It specifically says it has to be zipped up when you're in the airport. Like, you know what I mean? Like going onto the plane or whatever.
Good point. Yeah.
And
you know the rules. You know the rules.
He goes, that's not the policy we follow. And I said, OK, well, so we zipped him up and Bobby was freaking out. He has anxiety and he can't breathe. And it's so hot. And it was so hot. It's always hot on a JetBlue flight. I'll say that they have TV, but it's hot. And he kept coming by. And so we kept opening it, you know, for his head to come out so he could just breathe. And 20 minutes, this guy was such an asshole about it too. He was like, well, that is our policy, blah, blah, blah. You know, no one else is doing that. No one else. I'm like, I don't care about what the other dogs are doing. This has always been allowed. I said, we fly with him once or twice a month. And he, 20 minutes before landing, comes up and he goes, I want to apologize. You were right.
You couldn't have told me that an hour ago.
I was like, yeah. 20 on a five
minutes
and a half hour
before
flight,
the flight lands.
I was like, yeah. I know. I appreciate the apology, but like,
I'm aware
you were the only one. You know what I mean? Like all the other flight attendants who walked by, saw him, didn't say anything. He's in his carrier.
Yeah.
I'm following the rules. So fucking rude. So I wanted to complain because I was like, this is bullshit. This ruined the whole flight. Anyway, listen to me go off. What was I saying before that? Vanderpump rules. Oh, I turned it on.
Vanderpump rules.
It was 17 minutes in. So I was like, oh, I missed some, but whatever. I know. That's the thing about tuning into the finale. We all know this drama. So it's almost like.
I know. It's
watching
like fully unfolded already.
Again. I've never watched this show in my life. This was the first episode I've ever tuned into. And I thought, I know enough now where I could tune into this finale. And I know who everyone is. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Oh, and then they were like, some of the TVs aren't working. We're going to do a hard reset of all the TVs. So I was like, okay, here's another 10 minutes lost. So I didn't really watch the whole episode. But that guy, he's such a sad liar. Like, I'm like, something's going to happen. Something's not good in this man's future. He has dug himself a grave, you know.
He needs to
leave
people
spotlight.
Completely. I mean, I don't know what you do after this.
Move to Hawaii, start a juice. Listen to me, I'm Chris Denner. Start a juice company.
Start a juice company. Call it this. I would fully, move to Europe, move to Spain, pull a Johnny Depp's ex and move to Spain with my belongings.
Right?
All of them.
It seems he's too far in. It's sad now. And it's like, and I thought Lisa Vanderpump, I was like, surprised you didn't watch it yet. Like she talks with him and was kind of like, she
and
still
cries
like,
to her.
She like, yeah. Oh my God, the crying.
Oh, the crying. It's
it was
too
so
much.
Stupid. It was so forced. But she was sort of like, I still support him. I don't support his like decisions or whatever. And I was like, you know what? He doesn't. He needs someone to be like, I don't support you anymore. You know what I mean? Like he needs that kind of.
He needs tough love now.
Yeah.
Well. What's crazy to me about the show is that I don't think any of these people set out to be reality stars. They were all struggling actors that worked at this restaurant, as many struggling actors do. And now they're just thrust into the limelight following these storylines. And this is their life now. This is their chosen path.
Interesting. Right? So that, like, you don't think they, I was going to say, I think they all probably moved to Hollywood to get on television, and this was a great way to get in.
Yeah, but now their entire life is tarnished. Their name, they're never going to get picked up to be on a TV show anymore. They're reality stars. And now he's going to be a singer. What's with the singing career and the eye makeup and the bejeweled clothes, as if this is like a full on, as if he's a rock star? Honey, you can't put three notes together.
Yeah.
I don't think he can. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like an insane amount of a whole image tarnished from this whole cheating thing. And now he's just going to be known as Tom Scandoval Scumdoval for the rest of his
Scumdoval career. I kind of love that, though.
Scumdoval. It's like Tristan Trashcan Thompson and Tom Scumdoval.
Are you going to watch it?
Well, I did watch, the finale of Vanderpump. Yes, I will. But I'll be honest, I didn't tune into this show until this drama and to watch James Kennedy, because I think he's very much the star of the show.
Who's James Kennedy?
He's the English one. And in the reunion, he calls Tom Sandoval a poo-poo head. He goes, you know you are a poo-poo head.
Yeah, that was funny. I saw that.
I find him entertaining.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know that I'll watch the show, though. Like, I feel like I've seen everything I need to see.
I've seen what I needed to see. And for that, I am out. I will be. Yeah, no, I'm tuning in for the drama and that's it. I mean, as everyone is. So have fun. Their ratings are through the roof right now and they're enjoying that little surge. But after that, it'll be donezo.
Yeah. But next up, Kardashians on Hulu. I think it's May 25th, baby. Listen next to us plug it. Up. They need to, I want to get a press package from them. We need to go to some kind of premiere. How do we get on that? There's going to be a premiere.
I know. There's going to be a premiere. And you know what we're going to contact? Amanda Hirsch from Not Skinny But Not Fab, because she's got the in and that's our in because we're friends with her.
Oh my God. Good call. Yeah. Listen to us. Was such a big wig move. She was like, and who are we going to call? I have someone already. Okay.
I've got it.
She's a big wig. We're going to have her on. I would love for her to be our first guest, honestly.
A very big wig. Okay. Now that we have that settled, episode 20, guys, it's going to be a big one because we're going to have our new music. We're freshening up. We're having a glow up, if you will. You know, episodes 1 through 19, it's just a starter, Anna. Really, yeah. It's the starter kit.
The appetizer.
We had to get our feet wet.
Yeah.
It's the appetizer.
Get ready for the main event, baby, because it's only going to get... I like that. We're getting a glow up for episode 20. It's only going to get better from here. I'm obsessed with all of you. Some of you have said, like, you know, you'll DM us and be like, I'm a big wig. And I absolutely love that. So we're going to get you some merch, too, for for being a big wig. We need it. I need a sweatshirt that says big wig only.
Anna's like, honestly, we don't need any frills, just a big wig to start. And I fully agree with you. We send each other back and forth, like, different designs. We're like, honestly, let's just get the main thing to start, which is just big wigs. And call it a day.
I love it.
I love it. This I has love been an you. Thank you. Fire for, episode.
Thank you for being such an amazing partner and friend for and being such a good cheerleader for my show. It was like I'm very lucky to get to work with you and to have you in my life. So thank you so much.
Anna's getting emotional. Don't get emotional with me.
I'm getting emotional, sweetie, before my mic explodes in my fucking face. There are a few awkward cuts in this episode. Just know that my microphone is literally blowing up on me.
Oh, my God. Well, you pulled it together. We have the time codes. But yes, bigger and better than ever. Your show was absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait to see the new show in August, you're working and twerking and it's going to be tight. It's going to be great.
Thanks, sweetie.
So we're excited for that. It was a big wig week for sure. And I enjoy you all. Next week, we'll be talking about whatever goes on in our lives.
I was like, what are we talking about next week? Well, it's going to
happen.
Next week, we'll probably be together. We might be together, actually. TBD.
We should. TBD. We're doing it. We're doing it in studio. I'm already.
Well, 2 weeks we're doing it in a studio. Yes. But next week.
Yes.
We will be together. Oh, next week I'm coming back to New York. We're going to have lots to do. It's going to be great. In the meantime, have a beautiful week. Sorry this episode came out late, but now you know why.
We made it happen. Now you know why. We're falling apart at the seams. Okay. Mwah. Love you, Anna.
Bye.
Whatever you're saving up for. A CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 5.00% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.